You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
But we will start the show off today talking about the Grizzlies' last two games that they played. The Grizzlies played two games since the last time we talked. That was a home game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. I was in the building for that game, had Rob Fisher seats. Rob Fisher, of course, is a sideline reporter for the Memphis Grizzlies. I was sitting VIP, nice, looking important, enjoying that experience. Then they played again Sunday against the Washington Wizards. Took a L. I came in prepared to go on a massive rant today about how I'm not a fan of disrespecting the game and resting guys when you don't particularly need to rest them. But judging by the latest, not progress report, I got school in my mind, the latest injury report saying that Desmond Bane is listed as doubtful, I think.
Yes, doubtful.
Yeah, with him being listed as doubtful, that means that there probably was a legit injury with Desmond Bane. So my rant will not happen. You guys are about to hear the first Anthony Sane rant here on Grind Season, but you will not hear that today based on updated information. You can only go by what the last thing you heard, Jason, so I'm going to back off of that. So what were your thoughts on the two games, the one win, the one loss that the Grizzlies suffered since the last time, had since the last time we talked?
Well, we talked about, you know, Friday night. You were there saying I got a chance to go as well. Wasn't sitting VIP like you, but got a chance VIP, to be up close and personal. Yeah, shout out to Brother Fisher, Fish Nation, by the way. No, man, I thought the statement game that we went into that game last week saying, okay, this is probably the way the Grizzlies are looking at this. I mean, just look at afterwards in the post-game interview where you got them all in front of, you know, in front of the cameras dancing and everything else. Ja Morant, you know, from everything from the arm muscle motions to everything else that
going
night.
To the door and
you know. It was all about, again, we're here to make a statement. You guys went out and got Rudy Gobert this offseason. You're still beneath us. That was the vibe all night long. On a night where, again, they debuted those City Edition jerseys saying they look good in those things, you know. I thought that was obviously an extra little bit of energy there at the beginning of that game. And, no, man, all the way around, you know, I thought Memphis controlled the game for the most part. Desmond Bane put it away in the fourth quarter again. We're getting used to that, the fact that it can either be Ja or Bane in fourth quarters closing teams out. You got a little bit of everything in that game. And, again, it was that statement to Minnesota that, no, we're not going to be the thing that fixes y'all. You know, and after a great first half, Anthony Edwards 21 points, just 7 in the second half. It was a lot more of that lack of a pecking order that we talked about from Minnesota. Right. And with the Grizzlies, it's the exact opposite. They know who their guys were. So on a night where Ja Morant had 28, 10, and 8, no look behind the back passes on fast breaks to Brandon Clark, the Grizzlies just looked like that team that on Friday night when they're whole, and again, this was minus Jaren Jackson, can beat anybody in the league. I know it was Minnesota. But that's a Grizz team that you see saying that defense still coming around. They're up to number 21. It's been a slow climb up. And again, I thought the second half you saw some of that defense. So I take more out of that, certainly, than I do out of a loss to Washington where you don't have John Bain. What about you?
Yeah, man. I think that it's kind of one of those situations where you get amped up for a fight, but the other guy doesn't want to fight, or it's just something ain't right. You know what I mean? And then you kind of lose your edge. That's how I felt from the stands. The Grizzlies didn't feel that way because they came out super amped up. Like we said, Ja was talking plenty of shit on the court. He was pointing when Cat got his third foul in the first half, he pointed, go sit down, go take you a seat. He got the crowd into it the whole game. And it really felt like they were like, they saw a sitting duck on the field, on the court. Because, man, that Wolves team I saw Friday, I've seen like highlights of them or like blooper reels and things like that and Shaq and the Fool of them. But actually watching that team for four quarters, man, that is not the same team that we had a classic battle with in the playoffs. It just, it was not, man.
No leaders, man. They don't know who the leader
is. It's not just the leader. Your goons are gone, man. Like, they're not tough anymore. Like, at least last year they were a team that lacked leadership, but you had a lot of just dirty, like nasty, grimy, hard-nosed guys on that team. You had Jerry Vanderbilt. You had Malik Beasley, who's a hard-nosed guy. The brother served some legal time. You know, he's, you know, the brother, they got locked up or something, right? Like, what? Wasn't something going on him? You had him out there.
I don't remember with Beasley. Yeah,
he had some kind of legal stuff going on. You had Patrick Beverly, who you know was a madman. The picture of him, like, literally being around KD's waistline down there, guarding him, is epic. I don't know if y'all see that picture that's around. But you had those three guys on the team last year, and they're just not there anymore. And they're just not the same team, man. Those guys brought an edge. They brought a toughness. And quite frankly, they brought a lot of intimidation to this Memphis Grizzlies team last year. There were moments last year where it looked like we weren't ready to answer the bell. If you're going to make a Rocky analogy, they kind of had like a Clubber Lang type vibe to them, where they kind of got under the skins and kind of, you know, showed some of our team's deficiencies in certain areas. And they also put a battery in the back of a lot of guys. McDaniels, that kid didn't look the same. He was talking plenty of shit last year in the playoffs. He was quiet as a church mouse Friday night, because you don't have those guys, those enforcers, those hard-nosed guys that they had last year. And that Minnesota team just isn't the same. Like I said, their pecking order is extremely weird. Like we talked about on your show and on the podcast last week, if D'Angelo Russell is not the best player on your team, he's still the point guard. He should identify, okay, I'm not the best player on this team, but I'm about to tell y'all who he is. And it's that kid with the 6'6", can score from anywhere on the court, can dribble, pass, and shoot. Anthony Edwards, he's the best player on this team. It's my job to make the rest of y'all clowns know that he's the best player on this team. He's not doing it. He probably thinks in his head he's the best player on the team. He's like, I'm an all-star. How many all-star games Anthony Edwards been in? And I guarantee you that type of stuff is going through his head. That team has a clear lack of leadership, clear lack of a pecking order, and we saw it. But I'm excited because I was talking plenty of shit, and I felt good watching us beat the hell out of Minnesota Friday night.
No, you can be the toughest team in the NBA, but when you've got a guy like D'Angelo Russell, mm-hmm. you know, scoring 4 points in that game, going over 4 from 3, 2 of 8 from the floor. I think he had 3 turnovers in that game, saying it just doesn't seem like there's a game plan. Back to your point, for D'Angelo mm-hmm. Russell, recognize that, hey, man, we need to wrap this thing about Anthony Edwards and do it. There is none of that. You know, it's right. Either D'Angelo Russell trying to get his, or trying to figure out how they can get some flow to that offense. But he sticks out like a sore thumb. And even last, you talking about last year and how they seemed like a different team, you know, even with him up top, and I think it built still wrong with him in it. He was better last year. And I he's like a sixth toe this year for them. They need a point guard, not that's worried about taking shots on that team. They need a point guard that's getting into Anthony Edwards and feeding it into the post. Like, that's his job, and to play defense on the other end. That's the kind of guy I feel like that Minnesota team needs now, the way that roster's constructed. And it just I don't know that there is a fix in the season. Can they be better? Yeah, because I think Anthony Edwards going to settle down eventually and find his flow. Mm-hmm. But that's a hot mess right now, that Minnesota team.
Yeah, and imagine, like we talked about last week, imagine if that Minnesota team had traded all those picks away, traded D'Angelo Russell away, and they said, okay, Utah, give us Mike Conley and give us Donovan Mitchell. And you go Conley, Mitchell, Edwards, and then you go Karl-Anthony Towns still at the 5, or you keep Vanderbilt or whatever you're doing. That team would have been – I'd have been a little worried Friday night. Mm-hmm. I was, like I said, it was like watching a dying dog. It was like kicking over a dying dog, man, for real. It was like, you know, putting a dying dog to sleep, because that team wasn't the same. And like I said, and they came out and they bullied them. The Grizzlies came out and bullied them, but they just weren't the same. But like you said, man, that Sunday game, I don't care. I was a little ticked off at first because I was like, man, I had this whole rant together, like, why are we tanking a possible win? When, you know, now the best you can be is 1-1 over these 2 games, where you could have easily, you know, now you have to fight to be 1-1. But no, I mean, it's just, I get it now. And I'm not going to say I'm concerned about Bane, but now I have a different level of interest seeing that he's listed as doubtful for Tuesday's game. Because I thought this was strictly a bullshit, like, resting thing. They just said, well, he's got a toe thing. But it's clear there's something going on with his toe.
No, I mean, here's the thing about Washington, too. It'd be one thing if they were just sitting there at the bottom of the East. They've won. I think like this was the 4th straight win. Mm-hmm. They hadn't lost since they lost to the Grizzlies a few weeks back mm-hmm. in Memphis. I think they're a couple games over .500. Porzingis looked good on Sunday night.
Porzingis looked good as shit, man.
Yeah. I mean, that part's fit. And What's the kid, Denny?
Denny Avila. That brother.
Starting to sort of see it from him. Yeah, and again, this ain't a Washington love fest, but at least, again, it's a competent team this year. And again, you're playing without Ja Morant and Desmond Bane. So at least it's a little bit more palatable because Washington's playing some pretty decent basketball. And look, the Grizzlies kept it. I mean, it was a game.
It was a stretch. It looked like we were about to bust them open.
But I think shot 39%, just didn't have the firepower to get over the hump. But at least that's a Washington team that's playing pretty well. But again, I think the thing you take away from that game is, okay, Bane still listed as doubtful with the toe. We're talking about probably missing a second consecutive game against the Pelicans. And listen, you don't – with Jaren so close, saying, you know, it all feels like we're trying to push fast forward to get all these guys back. And then for whatever reason, you got one or another that's going to be out. But hopefully for Bane, the toe will be short-lived. Like we said, they were dancing, looked pretty jovial after the game on Friday night. Yeah. So hopefully it's not that turf toe he's dealing with for extended weeks. He can get this thing licked. But, I wouldn't take too much else out of that Washington loss other than Washington playing pretty well. And without without Ja Bane and Jaren Jackson, I think you feel pretty good about where you're at.
I ain't mad at all, especially knowing that Bane was legit hurt. I mean, so it's good. You, Jaren got hurt Friday, just a little minor ankle tweak, so you got a chance to rest him. Hopefully, Bane. I'd be shocked if Bane doesn't play tomorrow night, but just to see that injury does seem to be like a real thing. I'm fine. It makes me even, I'm cool with yesterday. I had a rant ready, man, but I see I don't have to use it. You did say, the Grizzlies do play the Pelicans tomorrow night. National TV game, a rivalry I've been trying to manifest for 4 years now between New Orleans and Memphis. Rivalry that I think should happen. They're right down the street. They're one of the closer teams to us geographically. We all know about the train ride. A lot of people take from Memphis to New Orleans, which is a pretty dope experience from what I've heard. They're right down the street. You got Ja versus Zion, two guys that went 1 and 2 in the draft, two southern cities, two of your smaller markets. I've been manifesting this thing for a while, and I think Tuesday could be one of the games that can really get that going. Zion is listed as, I think, questionable for that game. Mm-hmm. You don't know if Zion's going to play or not. I'd be shocked if he doesn't play. I think that game could be really fun, man. That New Orleans team, McCollum, Ingram, you got JV over there. Trey Murphy has been off the chain. The guy at the Grizzlies that was slotted, it was picked at the Grizzlies pick, the draft day trade we had for Zaire Williams. Then, of course, this year in the draft, they picked up Dyson Daniels, a kid who I heard the Grizzlies had eyes on. And because of the Lakers being so damn trash last year, that pick went to New Orleans instead of going to us. There's a lot of intrigue, a lot of interest in that game tomorrow. I'm worried out of my ass. I'm not going to lie. The Pelicans are a team that I am truly afraid of over the years. They've given us a lot of hell, a lot of problems over the years. I think it's going to be a great game, though. I think that Jaren just being back on the court, I don't expect a lot from Jaren. Jaren's probably out of shape. And he's probably going to be extremely rusty. I'm not really expecting a lot from him. I think he could serve a great job as a decoy. I hope people don't really just kind of judge what we see tomorrow, good or bad, as what he is. I think it's still going to take him a while to come in. But what are your thoughts overall on that Pelicans game tomorrow?
Well, the thing that strikes me about the Pelicans is ever since they added CJ McCollum, they go out and get him. You look at that Minnesota team that doesn't have the professionalism and the leadership. That's what CJ McCollum brought to that Pelicans, to that organization, was the professionalism, the idea that we've got to have a pecking order. And that's the part that scares you. We talked about which one could be more of a statement game, Pelicans or Minnesota. I think both of us are, and rightfully so, more concerned with the Pelicans and the way that looks as it's stacking up for the future. Going to have a swap, another swap with the Lakers coming up. So it's what CJ McCollum's added. I love Willie Green, love what he's done. And again, whether you got Zion or not, that team it's not all the way there, but it's further along than Minnesota in terms of establishing that pecking order. They got everything you need. There was a time where I doubted whether you could play Zion and Brandon Ingram on the floor together. And yet, having watched them this season for the times that we have, it looks like they're trying to get it figured out. I mean, both of those guys need the ball in their hands, but it looks like there is a way to work it out. I ain't saying they can win a championship with the two of them together, but I like the way it's headed. And again, CJ McCollum, it's that kind of professionalism that Minnesota's mm-hmm. lacking.
Yeah,
and,
man.
And when they got him, when New Orleans added him, it finally got the wheels turning. You know, it felt like they had been spinning their wheels, the Zion stuff. Who at one point, he didn't even look like he wanted to be there. You right. throw CJ McCollum into the mix, you put in a good coach like Willie Green, mm-hmm. and they've got that thing finally looking formidable. And what you would see is a threat. I mean, looking forward, you know, if you're talking about the Grizzlies going forward next 4 or 5 years, because you're talking about Jaren's 23, Ja's 23, it's teams like the Pelicans, you know, Dallas because of Luka, that you figure are going to be the ones over the next 4 or 5 years that stand to be your biggest rival. So I'm with you. We sort of been waiting on this to materialize. You probably got to have a playoff matchup or something to spice it up to a level, you know, where it was like Clippers Grizzlies was that rivalry for a while. You know, Minnesota Memphis, because of last year, was starting to feel like that. But I think at some point, man, over the next few years, because of the fact Zion and Ja just always for their entire careers going to be tied to each other, that part of it too. This is going to be a rivalry for years to come. And yeah, it's the kind of rivalry where I think, unlike with Minnesota, in this one, I think you respect your opponent. You know what I'm saying? That's where I'm at. This thing's coming together. Mm-hmm. Might not happen this season completely, but they're headed down the right track. And that's concerning for the Grizzlies.
Right. I definitely agree. That Pelicans team is really built to be really good. We've been the darlings of the NBA, but that Pelicans team, man, they're creeping up. And they've been around, you know, a little bit above 500 this year. Not being the gangbusters team everybody thought they would be so far. But, yeah, I feel a way about tomorrow because I know we're going to give maximum effort. So a loss would feel kind of, you know, it would be kind of humbling if we take a nice loss from them.
Trey Murphy. Your boy Trey Murphy shooting 39% from three. Looking
yeah,
good.
Man. Yeah, he's good, and he's got nice size. And then Zaire's not playing at all. So, you know, you're looking at that draft day transaction once again.